Good morning, everyone, and welcome on this beautiful Sunday. We are so glad to see you and glad you're making a choice to worship our Lord and Savior today, Jesus Christ. Do you know that coming to church doesn't mean you're going to worship? But I'm speaking in faith that you've came to worship. So I believe that we are going to worship together today, and God's going to do some great things. We do have a few announcements. First of all, our organization has deemed the month of September to be Impact Eternity Month. So we're going to be doing several things throughout the month of September. First of all, we have a prayer event scheduled, and it is called Surround the Town in Prayer. How many know prayer changes things? So if you don't like what's going on, then you need to pray. So if you don't like what's going on, we expect to see you on September 16th at 5 p.m. And more instructions will come to that. But we'll be surrounding Carrie and praying together, and we believe God will do some great things in that. During that month, we are also going to have a service, and it's about reaching our community, reaching an unbeliever. So we don't want you to invite your friend from another church. We want you to invite a friend or family member or neighbor who does not serve the Lord. And we have an evangelist coming in, Brother Nick Hall. He's a young man on fire for God. You will be blessed. He is entertaining, but he is also anointed. So we will have some flyers to pass out for that, and we want you to spread the word, but save the date for right now. We want you to be planning for that service, and that will be on the 24th of September. Also during the month of September, we will have a devotional, so we encourage you to participate in that, and we believe that eternity will be impacted because we're making a choice to do something in the month of September. Also, a new announcement I'm very excited about is we have a mission trip in the works. We are going to Appalachia to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this is for ages 13 and up. So that includes all of us adults, anyone and everyone who would like to go. And we have a meeting scheduled for more information about that, and that meeting will be on September 10th, right after morning service. September 10th. Right after morning service is that meeting. And then the actual mission trip will be the first weekend in December. All right, and then this weekend, we've been hearing lots about it, and it's finally here. This weekend is Kids Crusade. Yeah. So it is an outreach that will start at the park at 11 a.m., and then we have a service right here at 5 p.m. with Pastor Randy. And then if you don't get enough of Pastor Randy on Saturday, he's coming back on Sunday, so you all will get to hear him for sure on Sunday. We're doing our Youth Converge service with the young people staying in here, and Pastor Randy will be preaching on Sunday morning. The kids' ministry is asking for donations. They have little slips of paper back there and a box to collect food. So if you'd like to pick up some food for them, they're going to hand out some bags of food to parents that come. And then they're also asking for door prizes. So Lincoln is going to come. We got three door prizes left, so some of you have already taken buckets to fill. If you just want to fill them with goodies, there's two examples back there. Spend maybe $20, $30, somewhere in there. And if you would like to do that, raise your hand if anybody would like to take a, and then Lincoln will pass those out to you. Take a basket to fill up and bring those back by Wednesday, please. So if you can fill up a basket and bring it Wednesday, and that'll be door prizes to give out on Saturday. And our very last announcement this morning is today is Baptism Sunday. We have some new creations in Christ that are declaring that God has transformed their life. And so we want you to be a part of that. We'll be leaving from here right after service to head down to the creek. It is on 199. If you just head towards Upper Sandusky, you'll see all the cars. You can't miss us. So feel free to join us right after service. It won't take long. You can still get some lunch after. We're not expecting you to fast, that bad F word, right? But come and join us and then go get lunch and celebrate with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And at this time, Brother Ryan is coming with our call to worship.
Good morning. You know, I know we got baptisms today, and maybe that's part of the reason that I was feeling some of the things I've been feeling. But I thought, this word can't just be for those who are getting baptized today. This word needs to be for those who have been baptized many, many years ago, a couple years ago. Maybe you haven't been baptized yet. But this is a word that I was reading this week out of the book of Colossians. And it says it's to Christians. That would qualify for everybody in this building if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, whether you've been down to the creek or not. Amen. And I was thinking, as a Christian, my job is not to fix other people. Well, I got a couple amens. But that's the reality of it, folks. We're not here to make sure our brothers and sisters are toeing the line. We're here as Christians to make sure I am. Amen? So I'm going to read you a scripture out of the book of Colossians, chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. It says, therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion. Be sensitive to the needs of other people. Kindness. Consider other people's needs as important as your own. Humility, gentleness, and patience. You know, humility will change the way you react, and it'll also change the way you approach people. It'll do both. It's like the father of those two words. It generates the gentleness and patience where you have compassion and understanding, and you also accept one another. Not force them to fit in, but accept them. It says forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another. You know, if you're sitting here this morning and there's somebody in this building that you wouldn't want to sit next to, you ought to go sit next to them. Amen. It says, just as the Lord has forgiven you, you should also forgive. And it says, above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts and be thankful. And I myself can readily admit that I'm not always each and every single one of those items. But Paul says, put it on. What are you wearing, Pastor Joe? Right? That was your message last week. I didn't even think of that. But what are you wearing? You know, so I encourage you today that you put these things on, because when we put these things on, you're going to make a difference in this world. You're going to impact eternity. Because I'm going to tell you something. This is a well-known secret, probably. You're impacting eternity whether you're putting these things on or you're not putting these things on. But which eternity are you wanting to impact? Amen? Are you filling up the kingdom of heaven? Are you letting people burn in hell because you're not doing the things that we're supposed to be doing as Christians? Amen. So be thankful. And at the end of this chapter, it says, and do all these things in the name of Christ Jesus, and be thankful to God our Father through him. So whenever you're struggling with any of these items, these things that we're supposed to put on, just remember that Jesus died on the cross and resurrected from the grave so that we could put these things on through the help and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And you can do it. You can do it, even if you don't feel like it. Amen? Because sometimes I don't feel like it. But we got to do it anyway and fight through it, man. Fix ourselves so we can help and love others. Amen? Amen. So if you'd stand with me now, we'll pray over the tithes and offerings. All the ways to give are on the screen. Lord, we just want to thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. That you give us the power to put on these things and to live a life that edifies you. Lord, we ask you this morning as we bring our tithes and offerings as a form of praise and worship that you would just bless each and every one here. Bless those that are giving. Bless those that are receiving. That we would just give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church family. If you're excited and glad to be in the house of the Lord, just come up and worship with us.
You're a mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God, mighty God. Yes, you are a mighty God. You're a mighty God. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, yes, you are mighty God, and you are mighty, mighty, mighty God, mighty God, yes, you are mighty God, you're a righteous God, are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword, so we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Oh, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, as a trumpet call, lift your voice. Jehovah, there's no God like 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 Jehovah. Oh, he comes riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, and the trumpet call, lift your voice. Jehovah, there's no God like 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 Jehovah. Oh, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, year of jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation comes. You do miracles so great.
sing that again. Right here in this place of worship right now. God is moving in this place. God has been moving in this church body since early this morning. Pastor Darius, what did you say? 2-3 o'clock in the morning? 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock this morning, God met our sister, Catherine, at her home. She thought she was just awakened because she needed, because nature was calling. We've all been there in the middle of the night, right? No, God was calling. Whew. All of a sudden, the presence of God hit her. The expression we use in Pentecostal ranks is she was baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Her dad woke up because there was a noise coming from her room. She was dancing in the spirit. Hallelujah. God has already been moving in this church since early this morning. God is moving right now. Sister Trisha Troiano just shared a vision she was having during worship. She asked me to share it with you. She saw a big rock, and the people were behind the rock. They couldn't get to where they needed to go because it was a big boulder. But then Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, the rock of ages, came and crushed the rock and removed the thing that was in the people's way and made a way where there seemed to be no way. Just like he parted the Red Sea and the Israelites came through, and he parted the river for Elisha after Elijah had transitioned into glory. And she says she feels like what God's speaking to this church, and I'm in agreement with her, that God is moving in us right now. And the thing that has been holding us back, the rock that is in our way, is being removed. The impossible is happening right now, and he's asking us to step through the way that he's making. There will literally be a parting of a mountain when Jesus returns. If you've ever read the scripture, you know he's descending on the Mount of Olives. And the Bible says that it will be parted in two. That means the rock will be crushed and moved to the side for the deliverance of his people, because they're being held captive in Jerusalem and there's no way out for them. God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And it goes along with what God had put in my heart during worship, because I was listening to this song, The Rock of Ages, How We Need You, You're My Rock. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Jesus said that. See, sometimes we think we're building something. No. We're the material. We're the building material. God is building something. God is working. God is moving. And what he's saying to us right now is that the thing that has been holding you back is being crushed and removed. If you will just step forward in faith and walk through it, God is making a way where there seems to be no way. God is building something in us when it seems impossible, because he is the builder. So this is what I want you to do, because we're going to transition and go into the rest of the service in a minute here, but I don't think we're done with worshiping yet, because this is what I feel in my heart. That some of you have a rock in front of you right now. It's a rock of offense. It's a rock of addiction. It's a rock of hurt, a rock of frustration. And it has been hindering you from moving forward in your walk with Jesus. Some people have already came forward and began to cry out and answer what God is speaking to their heart right now. That's why there's people forward here, and they're worshiping and they're praying, and different people praying. And listen, we're not going to miss God. God's got a message for us this morning. Pastor Alicia's going to preach. I've asked her to preach, and she's going to do that this morning. She's got a great word, and it's going to go along with what God's doing right now. But see, here's the problem. Some of you have been having this before your face so much that it's blinding you from everything that God's trying to show you. And God, in His grace and His love and His mercy, is coming down right now in this moment, in this part of the service, to remove that thing so you can begin to hear from Him clearly, so that He can speak to your heart and speak to your mind the Word of God. So this is what I want you to do. This is not something against you as a bad person. I shared with you last week, there's something that was going on in me and it needed to break. I couldn't even understand what it was, but I just kept coming to Jesus. I'm the pastor of the church. Oh no, He shouldn't be that way. We all are this way. Come on. So don't let fear or judgment or anything hold you back this morning. You get what you need from God and get the start of it, because then the Word is going to finish it this morning. You hear me? But this is what I want to encourage you to do. God is making a way. Will you step out and follow Him in that way right now? Will you do it? Are you going to just hold back and just stay in your place and stay stuck in the mud and stuck in your rut? If you are willing to say yes to God, I'm moving forward, I'm moving through this, I'm getting through this, then I want you to come forward right now. You can kneel, you can stand, do whatever you need to do, but God is moving this, and we're going to sing this song as a prayer. Listen, we are a church of participators, not spectators. We all going to get involved in worship this morning. We're all going to get involved in praise this morning. Oh, rock, oh, rock. Sing that first part, then let's just go back into my God, I need you. Come on. Begin to cry out to God.
Oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. Your faithfulness.
Somebody beside you, that's okay. Find somebody, put your hand on somebody next to you. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray for our city. How many know we got a family hurting in Cary right now? Freshman girl just up and dies. Things don't make sense to us sometimes. We have no understanding why. Her last name was Smith. We're gonna pray for her family. What was her first name? Somebody know it? Patel. Patel's family needs prayer this morning. Her friends need comfort from the Holy Spirit this morning. There are people in our region that are hurting, that are broken, that are bruised, that the enemy has been coming against, that some people are bound. They're bound up. They need to be set free this morning. And God answers prayer. God answers prayer. It's one of the disciplines that He's given us to not just walk closely with Him, but have communication with Him and see people's needs met around us. And so I want you to begin to just, let's just pray together. Pray for each other. Pray for Cary. Pray for the people hurting in Cary. Pray for this region. This region that we're affecting, all the people around us, not just Wyandotte County, all the counties around us. We're praying right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, you see our hearts. You see how they long for you, God, and for more of you. Lord, you have placed us in the midst of darkness to be a shining light. And we are doing that, Lord, to give people hope. Give people Jesus. We give them Jesus right now, Lord. We pray for these needs, God. We need you. We need you, God. You are our rock and we stand upon you. Our faith is in you, Lord. And we thank you that you're bringing comfort, Lord, to those that mourn. Even when we don't understand or know or get the why, God, we don't have to have the why. All we have to know is the who, and that's you, God. Our trust is in you. God, I pray for those who are sick and afflicted in body who couldn't even be here today, Lord, that text me. So they wanted to be here, but they were sick. God, heal their body right now. We declare that by your stripes, the whipping on your back, they are made whole right now in the name of Jesus. God, you see those who are troubled emotionally and mentally. Bring deliverance, bring healing right now. Bring peace in the name of Jesus. Calm the storms of their emotions, Lord, right now. Peace in the name of Jesus. God, you see those that are just weary. They've been marching hard, God. Thank you for a time of refreshment that you're doing right now. Refreshment, the winds of refreshment are blowing upon us right now, Lord. We thank you for it. We receive it right now. God, I thank you that you're meeting our needs, our financial needs, our physical needs, our spiritual needs, God. Our emotional, our soulish needs, Lord, you're meeting them right now, Father. We're giving them to you. We pray one for another. like your Bible teaches us to. We care about our brothers and sisters, and we are one together, Lord. And I bind and rebuke the devil and anything that comes out of hell that's trying to steal away our unity, that's trying to steal away our joy, that's trying to steal away our peace, that's trying to steal away our love, God. You will not prevail against your church. It's your building, Jesus. It's your work. We're your material. We are the clay in your hands as you shape us, God, and we submit our lives to you right now, Father. Give ourselves to you, Lord. Thank you for encouragement. I thank you for strength in people's hearts right now. Pray the blessing of God rest upon people right now. God, I thank you for what you're going to do the rest of this service, Lord. Thank you, the word that's going to come forth. It's going to transform this church. God, not only are we moving forward individually past the things that we're fighting with, but God, you're through this word, you're going to move our church forward into the deeper depths of the glory that you have for us, God. We receive it right now. We receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord.
No, the rock won't move when darkness seems to hide his face.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just received deliverance, peace. peace just fell upon him. I could see it coming upon him. Peace just come upon him. Hallelujah. That's the peace of God in your life that you're experiencing right now. And God wants you to walk in that the rest of your life. His presence is with you. Huh? His presence is with you because he loves you. And you are brand new today in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, celebrate with our brother this morning. Celebrate what God's doing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worship the Lord right now. Come on. From your own words, you know God likes to hear your voice. He likes to hear your voice. From your own words, just give him your praise. If all you know how to do is say, I love you, just say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those that want to return back to their seats, they can. You can continue to stand and praise if you want to. We never stop anybody. If you need to keep praying, you can keep praying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I'm excited about what God is doing. God is moving so greatly across this nation. You need to understand this. About 3 weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer, we were in youth camps. I saw kids from the age of 7, 8, somewhere around there, clear up to older teenagers pouring into the altar, laying before the Lord, weeping, crying out, wanting more of him, God touching and moving in their lives. There's hope for our nation because there's kids that are still seeking Jesus Christ. And then just this weekend, I went to a place called Man Camp. And I don't know if that video will play this morning. I know that we were trying to play a slideshow, and if you can get it going, you can just see some pictures of that before we change the order of the service. This is just still part of praise. Go ahead, just play it. There's no sound, just play it, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit. It was amazing, church. 150 some men gathered from all across, from sea to shining sea. Literally, we had people from New York to California there in Indiana, in the middle of the country. So from New York to California, we had people there from Arkansas, Oklahoma, Ohio, Kentucky, of course, Indiana. I'm probably missing some. 150 some men gathered, and all of a sudden an invitation was made, and you'd see these men just fill the altar, begin to weep and cry. God, we need you. God, we want you. God, move in our life. The first night, I saw it with my own eyes. I just watched it happen. We had been having altar service. The preaching was great. God spoke to us. We've been having altar service, and it seemed like, you know how it does, it starts dying down and more people going back to their seats and stuff. And all of a sudden, there's this young man, probably in his 20s. He comes running almost. I mean, it wasn't a little run, but he was walking as fast as he could. He had a hat on. He took his hat and he threw it on the ground. He just falls on the altar and begins to sob. And I heard in my spirit, he's come back. He's come back. And I saw men of God begin to surround him and pray for him. And when he was done, he got up and he told the pastor that was leading us, Pastor Jimmy Patillo, he said, I walked away from God and it was the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. But tonight, I've come back to it. Hallelujah. That was worth the whole conference right there, right? But that was night one. I'm telling you, God moved. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. And because God is moving across people, there's hope for our nation. See, CNN, ABC, CBS, Fox News, none of them were at Man Camp reporting about what God was doing. They're going to tell you all the filthiness, the terribleness, the sad stories of our world. They're going to try to hide what God's doing, but they can't. You can't hide what God's doing. And then we come here this morning, I begin to see families. Not just young people, not just men, not just women. We have a women's conference, man. Our women's conference this past year was, I mean, it was amazing. Women, I mean, now we're seeing families come together. I saw families in the altar praying this morning. Didn't you see the families? The families. There's hope. There's hope. We can't quit, church. We can't give up. We can't stop. We got to keep moving forward and do what God's telling us to do. Amen? So I'm just excited. We're going to take double of what we took last year to Man Camp this next year, because it was good. We need to get the men of our church to go. It was a good time. We had a lot of fun, but, man, God really moved, all right? And there's things coming up. Kids Crusade this weekend. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be off the chain. You think, oh, it's just kids. Yeah, them kids are probably going to get so full of God that they're going to lay hands on you, and you're going to get hit the power from them. Amen? So make sure you're staying involved in what God is doing out here and being a part of that, all right? All right, students, we're going to go ahead and dismiss you to your classes this morning. Go ahead and do that. I know you've been waiting, and God's going to move back there. I'm just excited. I'm excited about what God is doing in our midst. Amen? I'm excited about the word this morning. I've asked Pastor Alicia to give us a word this morning. I know God has laid it on our heart. I feel like we've already begun to see some things so that God could show us first what he's going to teach us and preach to us. But listen to me. Listen to me very closely. I know we got a baptism. If we don't get there at the time we set, it's okay. We'll get there when we get there. And I guarantee you, you won't starve to death. Thank God we live in America, right? We eat well in America. Even the poor eat well in America compared to other poor people in other nations, all right? So you're not going to starve to death. We have some more things that are important first. And we'll get to the baptism, and God's going to move in that service. But listen to me. I just feel this in my heart. I don't even know what Pastor Alicia's preaching, but I'm telling you, there is more that God wants to do in the altar service after the word comes forth. Yeah. This was just a precursor to get us ready so we could hear from God. Now God wants to give complete deliverance. You know, the stone didn't kill Goliath. It only knocked him down. Then we pulled out the sword, which is the word of God, and we cut his head off. Come on, Pastor Alicia. Come give us what God has given you this morning.
I love that he doesn't even know the title of my message or nothing, but he knows that's going to go along with what God is already doing because that's what God does. And we can trust the Holy Spirit in that. Before I even speak, there's two things I want to address. First of all, have any of you ever been chastised by the Lord? Ever been there? So I'm going to tell myself a little bit because this last month I've experienced a bit of a chastisement. And the Bible says that God chastises those he loves. So I'm going to tell you a little bit of this story, but about over 10 years ago, my husband was elected as pastor of this church. And I was the pastor's wife, and I kind of understood my duties there. And a couple years into it, Joe said, I really feel like God is wanting us to pastor together. And that I didn't understand. I didn't know what that was going to look like or how we were going to do that. But I felt that he was right, that God wanted us to do that. So these last probably 7 years or so, we've been walking through that, trying to figure that out together, expecting God to lead us and direct us. And one of the things I struggle with pastoring is preaching. So if any of you knew me when I came here 18 years ago, this is not a place I would have been. I was more quiet, shy. If you came and talked to me, great. But if not, I probably wasn't coming up to you. But God has done a lot through me. And over the past few years, my husband would gently push me by saying things like, hey, do you got a word this Sunday? And my answer was always, nope. That's your job. Or he'd say, hey, I think maybe you should preach. I'm like, no. So if he went to Kenya or something, I'd be like, okay, you're going to be gone. All right, I can do this one. And so once or twice a year, I would fulfill my duties. And the women's conference, I understood God called me to do this, so I will do this every year, and I trust God's going to provide. And about the past month, God was like, okay, you need to knock it off and get up and deliver my word. And so you will probably see me more often in the pulpit. And so I wanted to share that for a couple reasons. Number one, because I think it's an example to others. Because I don't think I'm the only one who tells God, you've already stretched me enough. I don't know that I need to stretch anymore. So I think it's an example to say, you know, be willing. Be willing to go that extra mile of what God wants you to do, even when it's hard. Even when it's uncomfortable, be willing to do that. But number two, the reason I wanted to share it is because I don't want any rumors going around. If I'm up here more, that's because I think my husband's doing a bad job. He is one of my favorite preachers to listen to, and I enjoy his word, as I know many of you do as well. He brings a great word, but we want to obey God. And so we're going to continue to do that. Thank you. The second thing I wanted to share is kind of how this message came about, because that's the other reason I don't like to be put on the spot to preach, because if he asked me to preach like in 5 days, I only have 5 days to prepare, and I think, well, what if God doesn't tell me something in 5 days? And I've seen him where he comes to a Friday, sometimes he's like, I'm not sure what God's saying yet, and that would make me nervous. So I'm like, oh, God, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I can trust you that much, because that's what it really comes down to. If I have 3 months to prepare, I know you're going to speak to me at some point in that. But if I only have 3 or 4 days, it's making me a little bit nervous. So a couple weeks ago, I had a thought pop in my head about the altar, and I was excited. I'm going to start researching it. And so when Joe said he was thinking about having someone else preach, and I already felt God chastise me, I said, okay, it's me. I need to preach. I thought it was going to be the altar. I was like, okay, he's already given me a thought. But then this week, and I wasn't seeking for a message. I was just in personal devotion. I was just praying and talking to God, and I felt a scripture pop in my head. And so I went and looked at it, and I like to read before and after just to get the full context. And as I was reading, and what I'm delivering today is not even that scripture. It's different in the message. But sometimes we think when someone says God gave them a word, if you're a newer Christian or an unbeliever, maybe you think, well, what happened? Did you wake up and your piece of paper was laying there? Your sermon all typed out for you and God said, here you go. No, God has never spoken to me audibly, but it's those thoughts that just kind of pop in my head. And when I go and I'm obedient to look at it, then that's when God starts showing me something. And that's how God works. And so I want to encourage you in that, because I believe God wants to speak to each and every one of his children. And so it does start with the word. You need to read the word and get it in you. Had I not known the word where that could pop in my head, I don't know that I would have got to this. But because he took me there and I kept reading, I got to where he wanted us to go today. And I do believe this is the word for today. And so we're going to speak about remember your miracles. And I'm going to start with a lot of background, because I also think something that we do in the church world sometimes is just assume that people grew up in Sunday school and they know all the Bible lessons and they know what we're talking about. So I'm going to give a little bit of history for those of you who don't know. So if you do know, please be patient. It's just a refresher for you. If I mess up a name, because there's lots of different names, shout it out and correct me. That's fine. But we're going to start all the way back with Father Abraham. Everyone say Abraham. So Abraham was a man who loved God, and he served God. But he had no children. He and his wife could not have children. And God came to him and made him a promise and said, you are going to be a father of nations. And this is important to where we're going today, because we're going to talk about that nation that came from Abraham. But it started with a miracle, because Abraham could not do it. It was impossible. He tried. He tried to have a baby. He and his wife tried. It was impossible. There was nothing that they could do. But God moved. There was a miracle, and the child was born, and Abraham had Isaac. So Isaac grows up and gets married, and he has a child named Jacob. And if you want to read all the stories, please do, because there's a whole lot of interesting information. It'll show you that you don't have to be perfect to serve God, because they messed up a lot. But God still moved through them, and he moved for them. And so Abraham has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob. And Jacob has an encounter with God where God changes his name to Israel. Everyone say Israel. Have you ever heard of Israel? It's a nation still today. It is a nation that people are still trying to destroy, that people hate, because they are God's chosen people. And they started thousands and thousands of years ago through a miracle. And God is still moving in them today. So you had Abraham, you have Isaac, you have Jacob. Jacob then has 12 sons. And this is where you hear people say the children of Israel. They changed his name to Israel. He had 12 children, 12 sons. And this is where the different tribes or clans of the Israelites come from. So there's 12 different groups in the Israelites. And so you have Abraham, you have Isaac, you have Jacob. You then have Jacob's 12 sons, and one of those was Joseph. Anyone ever heard of Joseph? So here's another miracle in the story. If you all have kids like I do, you know, sometimes there's some sibling rivalry, right? Thankfully, my children have never had so much sibling rivalry that they tried to sell one. But that's what happened in Joseph's story. So they sell him, and he ends up in Egypt as a slave, and God works a miracle in that situation. Again, something that he had no control over. He could not help himself. He could not fix this situation. He was at the end of his rope, and God intervenes. And because he listens to God and continues to seek God, even in his mess, God moves and exalts him to the place of second in command in this nation. And so he is in Egypt, and the second in command, and to make a very long story short, there's a famine. He saves all of Egypt and prospers them, because they're able to sell the grain that they have prepared for this famine. And so they do very well, and they're very prosperous. And so the king is very pleased with Joseph and says, bring your family here. We're going to give them land. We're going to provide for them. We're so thankful for who you are and the God that you serve. So bring them. So his family all comes now to Egypt. And things are going really, really well, until they all get older, and Jacob dies, and Joseph dies. And the Bible says, after many years, there arose a king who no longer remembered Joseph. But what he knows and what he sees is a whole lot of people who are prosperous, and that's a threat to him. So he makes them slaves. And then if you remember the story of Moses, God raises up Moses. Again, another miracle. Because Moses was supposed to be killed as a child. But not only was he not killed, but he was brought in to the Egyptian palace, not just a home, to the palace. Only God can do that. And he's raised up and ends up delivering his people. And that's where we're coming from. So the Israelites have been slaves for hundreds of years. But they know the stories of God. Because back then they didn't watch TV to pass time. To pass time, they told what God had done for them. They told about their parents and their grandparents and their great parents, great grandparents. So they've told their children all about God, and these Israelites knew it. And then they have the opportunity to see it happen for themselves through 10 plagues on the Egyptians. And God does these things to try to convince the king to let his people go. And so there's all these plagues coming against them, and the Israelites see these miracles. He sees how things are happening in Egypt, but they're not happening in the land of Goshen right next to Egypt where the Israelites are. They're safe, and they're provided for. They get out of Egypt, and they see the Red Sea part. That's another miracle. They see it happen before their eyes. They get into the desert, and after about a month's time, I'm assuming their water ran out that they had brought out with them, and so they come to a place of bitter water, and they see God do a miracle and make that clean water for them to drink. They see miracle after miracle after miracle. And today what we're going to do is we're going to parallel that to your life. Because I believe many of you have seen miracle after miracle after miracle. Many of you have heard the stories of parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles and the miracles that they have encountered. And what I'm telling you today is we need to remember those miracles. So we're going to start in Exodus chapter 16. And it's very important for you to realize Israel has seen God move. Israel has experienced the supernatural miracles of God. But this is God talking to Moses, and he said, I've heard the complaints. Everyone say complaints. What? What do they have to complain about? They have seen God move for them. They know they are God's chosen people. But now God hears them complaining. I've heard the complaints of the children of Israel. So speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Shouldn't they have already known? Shouldn't they have already been to that place in their life? But here he is ready to do it again. So it was that quail came up at the evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there in the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. The house of Israel called its name manna. And I'm skipping down to verse 31 here. It was white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. So once again, they have seen God move on their behalf. And we do have to realize that the Israelites have walked into this wilderness place. There's no store, right? No Walmart, no Dollar General. No place that they can even plant because they're in a wilderness. There's no way for them to make food for themselves. So I understand that they're hungry. I understand that they're scared about where's our next meal coming from. But I think what God's trying to show us is, but why complain? You've seen God provide for you. Why not just go and ask? Why not just go and talk and have a conversation and trust that he's going to take care of his children? because that's what God does. But they murmured and they complained. And so that was only about the time that they were in the desert for about a month. And then I believe this next verse we read, I think they've been in the desert for about a year at this time. And it's in Numbers chapter 11, 4 through 6. And it says, "Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving." And so I want to stop right there and talk about the mixed multitude. So if you go back and read when they left Egypt, it says some of the Egyptians came with them. We don't know how many, but some of them decided, they saw the miracles of God, they were going to go with the children of Israelite. But what should have happened is they should have been serving the God of the Israelites. They should have been submitting to that process. But instead, what we see here is they are the ones who started this complaint. And it says, the mixed multitude yielded to an intense craving. They were getting manna every day, and that wasn't good enough. They wanted something more than what God was offering. And so what should have happened is his children should have said, wait a minute. God is our provision. And if this is what he wants us to have, it's good enough. And we're going to trust him and have faith. But they didn't. They were sucked right in to that complaint. And so I wonder how many of us in our mixed multitudes, in our places of employment, where we're around unbelievers every day. Some of you live in families where you're around unbelievers and they don't have the same faith that you have. So you have a choice when they start complaining. Do you walk right along with them? Or do you tell them how good God is? Do you tell them about God's provision and the faith that you know? Do you tell them about the miracles of how he is providing? He's giving them miracle bread, and they're complaining that it's not good enough. So we need to be careful about who we're listening to, about who we're associating with, and are we being impacted by them, or are they being impacted by us? It makes a huge difference. So they have these intense cravings, and it goes on, it says, so, because this happened, because the mixed multitude are complaining and wanting something more, the children of Israel wept again. And they said, who will give us meat to eat? Because remember, one time God gave them a quail, but it didn't say the quail continued every day, the manna continued every day. So now they want meat. They want the quail back. They say, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except for this manna, this miracle bread. There's nothing else but this miracle, and it's not good enough. We want something more. I was thinking as I was reading that too, how many of you like a good buffet? If you go back to read when God gives them manna, there's only a certain amount they're allowed to eat. He gave them what they needed, not necessarily what they wanted. I don't know that they were ever stuffed with manna, but they had enough to sustain them. And sometimes we look at the miracle of God and say, but God, I wanted more. I wanted it to look a little bit different. And so it's important for us to recognize God's giving us what we need, but not necessarily what you want. And there's a reason for that. It's because he knows better than you do. So God gave them enough, but to them it wasn't enough. So as I said, I want to relate this to us. So I want you to think about a couple things. Do you have any past miracles that you now complain about? Anybody have a house that when you got it, you're like, praise God, he blessed me with a beautiful home. I'm so excited. You have a housewarming party. Everything's great. Then a year later, the roof leaks. Anybody complaining about the miracle that God gave you? What about a relationship? I know that God gave me my husband, but I got to be careful some days not to complain too much about that miracle. Anybody ever been there? Anybody got some little ones at home, some little children? That God gave you those blessings. But man, oh man, if you're not careful, you get with all those other moms and dads, and it's like a contest to see who can tell the worst stories about what their kids do. And we laugh, but life and death are in the power of the tongue, and if we're not careful, we're complaining about the very miracle God blessed us with, and we're not valuing what he's given us. We wanted children, but we didn't want them to act like this. Right? The miracle doesn't quite look like what I was expecting in my head. But it's what you need. And sometimes those kids that drive you crazy, it's what you need. Because you need to learn to depend on God's wisdom and not yours. You need to learn how to speak through the Spirit and not through your flesh. And it's going to either take you to God and make you holy, or you might end up in jail. I've met some pretty unruly kids. What about the job? Anybody ever get a job and you say, oh man, God blessed me with this job. Ooh, but then a few months later, you're like, God, can you give me another one? This one isn't working out. This is not what I thought it was. But God knew what it was, and if he led you there, there's a purpose in it. And so until he leads you somewhere else, appreciate the miracle. Appreciate where you're at. Remember what God gave you so that you don't take it for granted. God has done miracles for you. Let's appreciate what he's done. But they wept again, and they wanted meat to eat. And I didn't put this scripture down, but so I'm just going to summarize it because I didn't want to be reading a ton of scriptures. But we know that when they get to the edge of the promised land, and that was about, I think, about a year's time when they first got to the edge of the promised land. Again, they're seeing the miracle of God right before them. God said it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Guess what? It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was the miracle right there before their eyes. And they sent out 12 people to check it out, to go see. What does it look like? And they came back and said, oh yeah, it's good. It's good land. But only two of them knew what God could do. Even though they'd all experienced the same thing, they've heard the same stories, they saw the same situations, they walked through the same Red Sea, all 12 of them. But only two of them remembered and thought, this is no bigger problem for God than that was. And this is what I really want you to understand. They lost their next miracle. They didn't experience what God wanted to do in their life, that next miracle that was right there at their door, because they didn't have the faith to walk through it. And I think sometimes in the past, we have faith and we get through things. There's been times in my life that I feel like I'm just going from glory to glory to glory. I'm like just on a roll. Like nothing can stop me. Nothing can hurt me. The devil can do whatever he wants. I'm good. I have that faith. But it doesn't mean because you had that faith once that it's guaranteed for the next time. Faith is something you have to apply. It's not like a diploma. You earn it and you got it. It is something you have to do and walk through each time. We sing it today. God's the same God. But do you have the same faith? Because in those times where I feel like, oh man, this is a rough season. If I look, God hasn't changed. It's me. It was those 10 spies that had changed. They may have believed God to walk through the Red Sea. They saw, okay, this is kind of weird. There's water here, there's water there, but okay. I'm going to have faith and I'm going to walk through it. But when they got to the promised land, they didn't have the same faith. They said, oh, there's giants. God could do that, but I don't know that God can do this. And let me tell you, nothing is harder for God than anything else. It's just as easy for him to heal a cold as it is for him to heal cancer. It's just as easy for him to save a soul as to heal a hangnail. Like nothing, it's not hard for God. We just have to believe. And the Bible says without faith, you can't please God. So you can be on the verge of your next miracle, but if you don't have the faith to believe it, you're not going to see it. And I don't care how many miracles you've seen before. It takes faith every single time. And as we had people come up earlier today, and we were talking about sometimes there's that rock right in front of you, and you're like, God, how's it going to move? And maybe you saw it move before, but God doesn't always do things the same way either. So you have faith to believe he's going to do it the way he wants to do it. Because your miracle doesn't always look like what you want it to look like. I love that today so many people were up here just saying, God, we want you to do it. We trust you to do it. But what I'm telling you is sometimes that's not going to move until you remind yourself of what he's already done and you stir up that faith within you to believe him to do it again. Because God may want to do it all day long, but he can't until you apply your faith to it. God's the same God. He's able. He's willing. But are we going to believe him for it? And so the last thing, so there's 3 points I want to talk about. I kind of already talked about the one. Notice who you're listening to. Pay attention to that because that will affect your faith. Number 2, don't take God's blessings for granted. Even if it doesn't look like what you thought, appreciate what he's done. And number 3, the last one is fear and respect the Lord. Don't ever think that you know better than he does how it should look. And so I want to do something real quick. I'm going to call on a couple people, put them on the spot. We'll see how well they do with that. But I think that we need to share some testimonies because sometimes we forget. And then after I have a couple people just share a testimony of who they were before and who they are now, I want you to think of 3 things that God has done in your life, 3 miracles that God has worked. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to come forward again, but not to ask him to move, but just to praise him, just to say, thank you, God. Thank you for doing a miracle. Thank you for where you've brought me from. Thank you that you're still the same God. And so I'm going to ask, and these are people God laid on my heart, so I'm sorry if you don't want to do it, but Sister Deb Foster, if you're willing to, and I know she can talk, but we're going to do like 2 minutes because God's done a lot for her. I know that. But 2 minutes of who you were before you met Christ and what he did for you.
Well, I was a drug addict and I was a drug seller. I don't know, a pusher, whatever you want to call it, old word. My husband was an alcoholic and on drugs as well. He's not now. He's accepted Christ as his savior, which is huge. He does have some health issues, but I know God's going to take care of those. God's brought me a long, long way, and I praise and thank him. I've been set free for 40 years this December. Yay!
Would anyone have guessed that she used to use drugs, that she used to sell drugs? No, because that's what God can do. He makes you a brand new creation, and we're celebrating that today with baptism. Because you have no idea when you look at someone who they are now, the miracle that God has just waiting for them. God can do great, great things. Thank you, Sister Deb. My other one, Brother Bill Dotson. Now, he's another one that can talk and talk and talk, and you'll have to turn your ears up to listen a little bit faster because he talks really fast, but just a couple minutes of who you were before you met Christ.
Same as Deb. That's pretty much it. But I blamed it all on God my whole life because he took my father from me when I was 4. So I blamed God for doing it because I didn't know. So I just thought he did it. And by coming to the Lord, I found out that it wasn't his fault, and he really does love us.
Thank you. Amen. So, Bill, they turned it way up. When you see drug addicts, do you think God can deliver them? Absolutely. We need to remind ourselves sometimes when people are in a mess and we used to be there, but we're not there anymore. We need to go back and remember that if God could do it for me, he could do it for anyone. And the last person, where did she go? Sister Trisha, would you share a little bit about who you were before God and what he's done in your life?
Well, I was raised in a drug addict home, didn't have my father, so obviously I got into the drugs and alcohol, experienced a lot of trauma in my life. But when I was 28 years old, I had moved to Kentucky with my family, and I got really, really drunk, should have died, woke up the next morning, and I knew something had to change in me. And I had a friend down the road that had asked me to go to church, but of course I made every excuse not to go, and I went. And that day, that very first Sunday I ever went to church, I decided that I was going to follow God. I didn't know who God was. I didn't understand it. I just knew I needed something different than what I was already doing. And God has just been doing miracle after miracle. So.
And when you see God move in your life, it's easier to believe that next time. And it's easier to believe that next time. And it's easier to believe that next time unless you forget. And that's where I'm saying we just have to remember. We have to stir up that faith. Do you have something to share? Go ahead.
I went to bed one night. I had fibromyalgia really bad. And I was in so much pain. And I just cried out to the Lord. The next day, I got up, and I was walking around the house, and I thought, I have no pain. My pain is gone. And I started praising the Lord, and it has been wonderful. I can lay down and go to sleep now without medicine, and it is just, it's a miracle. It's a miracle.
Right. And so I'll just share. I want to share three of mine because then I want to ask all of you to think of three of your own. You don't have to share it out loud. But three things I praise God for is, number one, my husband, because we went through a season while we were dating that we broke up for a year and a half. And during that time, I kept praying and believing that we were meant to be together. But I even had the thought, but God, even if we got back together, it wouldn't be the same. There's been some trust lost, some hurt. I don't know that we can ever feel the same way about each other that we did before. And so that was a miracle to me when we did get back together and that relationship was restored. It was better than it was the first time, and I didn't think that was even possible because God restores broken things. When I was pregnant with our second child and I was not progressing and they had given me something to induce me and it had just stopped. And so they said, you know what, you're probably going to have to do a C-section. We're calling the doctor, tell him to be on standby. He's got, you know, tell him to put his shoes on, ready to go. And we call the prayer chain. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be cut open. And so the doctor came like within 20 minutes just to check me out. And he looked and told my midwife, he said, the baby's head's right there. What are you talking about? And he's kind of a character, so they thought he was joking. And she was like, what? And she looked, and all of a sudden all the nurses started running, grabbing gloves, getting ready, and they delivered Emma without a C-section because my God is a miracle-working God. And I think of the time that when we got married and Joe got laid off and we had set our budget on two incomes, and he didn't get unemployment, but for 4 months, God just moved miracle after miracle after miracle. Just odd jobs that came his way that he would go whether he was going to get paid or not, and people would pay him. We weren't even expecting it. And insurance. Anyone have insurance say that you've paid them too much and they want to give you some back? Like, that doesn't usually happen, right? But during that season, when we had one less income, my agency said, not only for me, but for the entire agency. We all got money back because everyone was blessed because God was blessing me. I don't worry about finances because of that. That has impacted me so much, that miracle in my life, that I'm like, if I'm faithful to God with my money, nothing else is going to matter. He's going to make sure my bills are paid. You have to remember what he's done for you. You have to go back and stir it up so that you can have that same faith the next time. We are always changing, always. And faith will not stay stagnant. So your faith is either growing or it is declining. And the way you can know is when you face a battle. If it's more of a struggle, then you need to check your faith. Remember and stir up your faith and get it back. It's not a bad thing, it's a reminder. Get it back. Because he hasn't changed. We're the ones who have changed. So this morning as we prayed, Sister Trisha Troiano, as she prayed, said, God, give us a praise that is undignified. I love that because that's true worship. Back in the days when the people had all their bobby pin hairdos, they would praise until the hairpins fell out. They didn't care what they looked like. They would cry until the mascara ran, if they wore mascara. Back then, they usually didn't. The men would shout and dance, undignified. And I'm not asking you to make it up, but I'm asking you to come before God sincerely and say, I'm not going to worry what anyone thinks, because I know what God's done. You can't take my praise, because I know what God's done for me. I know that he's real. I know that he's faithful. I know that he'll do it again. And I will praise him with everything that I have. And I don't care what anyone thinks about that. So in a minute, as they play and sing, I'm going to ask you to come forward, because some of you have publicly murmured and complained. And so I'm going to ask you to publicly not come and repent, but come and praise. Just come and thank God for what he's done, for those miracles in your life. But then there's one other group I want to talk to, because some of you may not have had a miracle in your life. And this whole time you're thinking, man, I wish I would have experienced those things. Well, guess what? You can. The same God who has changed the life of addicts and alcoholics, he's changed adulterers. He's changed just the sinner with insecurity and fear. He can change your life. And that's the very first miracle, that you are no longer the same person. That you don't think the same, that you don't look the same, that you don't sound the same, the way you talk. That is a miracle in your life, and it's just the beginning. So if you have never experienced a miracle of God, or maybe you've walked away and you're like, I just need to get back to that, I want to pray with you. So you come find me, and we're going to pray and believe that your first miracle is happening right today, right now, and it's just the start. And we're going to hear testimony after testimony of how God has transformed your life. And so right now, all of you believers, if you've experienced a miracle, come and worship. Come and praise. Come and thank God for what he's done. Come and let him stir up your faith, because your next miracle is right around the corner. I believe a breakthrough is right around the corner. And as we step out in faith, God is going to move. It's going to be the next testimony. We're not going to lose out on the next miracle. But we're going to trust and believe. And if you want me to pray, if you need salvation, come and find me right now.
I will make Come. how I find my battles. The word is how I fight my battles. The word is how I find my battles. The word is how I find my battles. Oh, the cross is how I find my battles. 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 Oh, my praise is how I find my battles. My praise is how I find my battles. My praise is how I find my battle. My praise is how I find. Oh. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Anything that we ask or think, but it's according to the power that is at work within us. And so, Lighthouse, I believe God is wanting us to stir up that power, stir up that gift. And I want to encourage you, when you get those new miracles, tell someone, share your story, because it gives God the glory and the praise that he's honor, he's worthy of. Pastor Dunia has something.
Gracias por la pastora, por la palabra.
Thank you, Pastor Alicia, for the word.
Porque habló mi corazón y me quebrantó.
Because God spoke to my heart and broke my heart.
Y hay veces Dios te toca no por medio de una inmensa predicación muy larga.
And sometimes God touches us not just through a long word.
Y desde que estoy aquí en esta iglesia ha sido el día que Dios me ha quebrantado.
And since I've been here, this is the day where God has really broken my heart.
Y Dios habló a mi vida.
God spoke to my life.
Porque hay veces siempre en nosotros está la queja.
Because a complaint is something that we always have.
Y es verdad que Dios le decía al pueblo de Israel, mira de dónde yo te saqué.
How God told the people of Israel,
de tierra de esclavitud.
What I snatched you from, I delivered you from slavery.
Y a veces Dios te saca del lugar.
And God takes you out of places many times.
Y no acabas de disfrutar lo que Dios te ha permitido vivir.
And you just don't start enjoying the things that God has given you.
Y el pueblo de Dios era siempre tan rebelde.
And the people of God were so always in rebellion.
Y hablamos como que el pueblo de Dios es el pueblo de Dios que era rebelde.
And we talk about the people of God as it's the people of God,
pero
Israel.
Nosotros estamos,
but we are
representados por ellos mismos.
Represented by them.
Nosotros a veces nos sentimos muchas veces así.
We feel that way many times.
Y Dios me decía,
and God was telling me,
¿por qué te sientes así?
Why do you feel that way?
Como yo decía, ¿de dónde yo te saqué?
Look what I took you from.
Y le doy gracias a Dios
and
por,
I thank God this morning,
por esta palabra,
for this word.
Me dijo,
and God told me,
hay veces son esclavos,
sometimes
de ustedes mismos.
You are slaves of yourselves.
El pueblo de Israel era esclavo de Egipto.
The people of Israel were slaves of the Egyptians.
Y esclavo de sus propias quejas.
But slaves of their own complaints.
Y hay veces, queridos hermanos, es mejor ser esclavos de Dios.
It's better to be a slave of God.
Esclavos de él por siempre.
A slave of God forever.
Y poder estar bajo todo su protección, bajo todo su cuidado, bajo lo que él quiera hacer con nuestras vidas.
His will and everything he wants to do in our lives.
Y le doy muchas gracias a Dios por esta palabra.
I thank God truly for this word.
Gracias porque Dios es fiel.
Thank you because he is faithful.
Aun cuando nosotros somos infieles.
Even when we are unfaithful.
Él permanece fiel.
He remains faithful.
Gracias a Dios por esta palabra.
Thanks God for this
reveladora
word
en esta mañana.
That reveals to us this
porque
morning.
Porque Dios nos ha estado hablando.
Because God has been speaking to us.
Y nos ha estado diciendo, te acuérdate.
And he has been telling us, remember.
De dónde yo te saqué.
Where I took
acuérdate
you from.
Lo que yo he hecho por ti.
Remember what I've done for you.
Y yo soy el mismo ayer, hoy y por los siglos.
Yesterday, today, and forever.
Y lo mismo que hice ayer,
and the same
lo
thing
voy a hacer
I did
hoy,
yesterday, I will
y lo
do it
voy
today.
A continuar haciendo
I will continue
todos
to
los
do
días
it
de tu
every
vida.
Every day of
todos
your life.
Los días de tu
every
vida.
Day of your life.
Gracias, Señor.
Thank you, God.
Gracias, Dios.
Gracias. And the last thing I just wanted to say is God is long-suffering. So even if we have complained and murmured, he's just waiting for us to come back. And so I'm thankful that he doesn't give up on me when I go through my pity parties or when I go through those moments when I forget how big he is. And so I'm just going to pray and dismiss and believe that this God is doing something in us, church. It's not for Sundays. It's not so we can come up and have a good service. So the people around us will see the transformation. They will see and hear about the miracles and know that God still moves. Father God, I'm so thankful for who you are. That you are greater than we can even imagine. That you're more able and more capable, Father, than we even understand. And so, God, I ask that you help us and teach us to move in faith, because that is the only way we can understand you is through faith. Let us not be caught up in the temporary stuff that we see, but God, let us remember that you are greater, you are bigger, you are more powerful. And let us trust you, God, to do what you want to do in us and through us. I pray that we will be a people that speak faith, that we will be a people that walk in the Spirit, Lord, that we will be a people that will be pleasing to you in all that we think and all that we say and all that we do. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray.